My goodness, Thursday already. Yes, it is. It's February 17th, 2022. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. We're going to talk a little bit about higher ed today, too. I got to tell you, I've got a very interesting guest for you today. We've got, Shonak, I hope I'm pronouncing your first name right, and you will tell me correctly. Okay, Shonak Roy, who is the founder and CEO of YellowDig.com. And this is a learning, he's going to explain it better than I can, but this is a learning program that allows learners together to form a community so that they can learn together. Now, he's going to do a much better job of explaining that than I will. So he's the CEO and founder. Again, it's YellowDig.com. We're going to archive, as we always do, over at ace-ed.org. That's a home website for our Equity and Access programs, our magazine, which is called Equity and Access. That's our online journal. It's wonderful, this issue. New issue just put up last week. You'll probably enjoy it if you haven't clicked through. There's a magazine icon right on the site. Just click on that. Flip through the magazine. We've got all kinds of new stuff up there. All our podcasts, all our articles, and a link to SEL Today, our social emotional learning website at seltoday.org. So we're going to start with my friend, Mr. Roy. How do you pronounce your first name?
So Larry, you got it right. It's Shonak.
Shonak.
It's not an easy name, but yeah, you were very close.
Well, you know, and actually it's that last syllable that has the heavier pronunciation, Shonak, right?
Yes.
Is that
it's
good?
Like Sean with an Ak. Absolutely.
Shonak. I like it. Okay. And Shonak, where are you today? I noticed a Boston area code. Where are you?
Yes, I used to be in Boston, but I now live in New Jersey. So right now I'm in my home in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, which is right across the Philadelphia city, which is where our office is based out of.
Good enough. I grew up in Philadelphia. All right, so I know Cherry Hill real well. I live in Maine now, but I love Philly. And I kind of remember there was a Philly connection. And I live in Maine, so there's kind of a Boston connection as well. Shonak, I want to ask, tell me about YellowDig, and I'm going to read off your website again, which is YellowDig.com. I love this. Okay, hold on, let me just get here for a second. Inspired by the pedagogical principles to turn learners into co-creators of knowledge, I love that, and empower them with robust performance analytics as they cruise through their learning journey. In other words, tap into all the people around you and create a community online. Is that a good way to describe YellowDig? Now you do it. Do it right.
Yeah, no, you got it right. And, you know, I think, you know, another way of thinking about it is, you know, traditionally learners, you know, we learn in a classroom, right? And the classroom was designed to build a community, you know, which is where, you know, in K-12, kids will come together, or in higher education, you know, students, adults will come together. But, you know, the reality of the world is that, you know, not only we are in COVID right now or this pandemic, you know, we are not in those classrooms, but even if we, let's say, we go back to those classrooms after this pandemic is over, it's not that classrooms are always designed to build those communities, right? I mean, if you're sitting in a classroom, let's say, for a couple of hours in a week, you know, if the classroom size is more than like 10, 20 students, which is often the case, mm-hmm. it's very hard for anybody, even the instructor, to build a community or even the students to kind of get to know each other in a meaningful way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of the connections form when people are kind of, you know, at ease, or they are actually discussing things that they want to talk about. And as we all know, like, classrooms are very hard places to kind of do those kind of connections.
So they are.
That's the problem. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a known thing. Like, you know, it's not that, you know, we don't know this. Like, anybody who has been in education understands the value of human-to-human connection and, you know, bringing that engagement and community together. But it's very hard to do. So we decided to solve that problem, and, you know, we are using technology. I mean, we are in a, you know, in the year 2022, I mean, the world is being run by technology, so why can't we kind of bring the best technology possible to kind of make that happen for learning?
It really is, and I love it. I just think it's a really good idea to build that community. And Let me ask you this. I know you're in colleges, and I want you to talk about this, and universities, et cetera. But we talk to a lot of K-12 people here, too. All right? And I want you to talk, is it applicable in that area as well? And please talk about some of the colleges that are using Yellow Dig or some of the places that are using Yellow Dig. Maybe that's a better way to put it. Okay? Because I can see it in a workplace as well. Okay? And talk about where you believe it is applicable. Okay? Within, let's just say, in the education sphere.
So I would say, you know, from an applicability standpoint, it's applicable everywhere. Like whenever there is learning happening, you know, we as humans, like, we like to learn with other people, right? I mean, it is, yes, I mean, you know, there are people who are self-motivated, who can, like, you know, pretty much learn anything on their own, right? I mean, if I'm trying to learn something, the first thing I might go to Google or YouTube and try to find a video on that topic and learn. And that's natural, right? I mean, we are living in this internet era. That's natural for people to learn on their own.
That's right.
Otherwise, you know, people want to learn with other people. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's you know, if it's K-12, and we are using K-12, higher education, and corporate training now. So we have clients from all these three segments of the market. And I think it applies equally, even though, you know, how you would build a community in K-12 might be slightly different. It might have a little more instructor involvement, whereas in higher education, you can rely more on the students to build that community.
You know, actually, that's a good question. When you see it used in colleges, do you see that the professors are involved?
We encourage the professors to get involved. In Yellow Dig, you know, when it's used in a classroom, and, you know, we have over, you know, 120 universities using us now.
So congratulations.
That's wonderful. So I think, you know, definitely the pandemic was one of the reasons we saw a big growth in terms of usage, because a lot of schools were struggling to engage their students. I mean, it has been a problem in the past, too. It's not that, but this pandemic kind of almost, you know, shed a light on it. So what we find is that from a professor engagement standpoint, we always say that it's always a good idea for the professor, teacher to be in those communities, but not to be kind of the be-all and all, like, you know, the stage on the stage kind of role, but more of like, you know, guide on the side, right? I mean, hey, you know, if there are discussions happening, you know, mostly which is academic because it's kind of an academic tool, but the professor can kind of guide the discussion, bring in new interesting topics or kind of, you know, bring in things that the students themselves would not bring in, or kind of, you know, bring in insights that are not typically kind of the students that are definitely learning that topic or whatever is being taught. The professor is more of an expert in that community, but, you know, as I said, like more of a guide on the side role.
Yeah, and I think this is fascinating because students can learn from, I mean, it's so obvious when you say it, students should learn from each other, okay, and they shouldn't be shy about that. And a technology platform like yours, again, Yellow Dig, everybody, yellowdig.com, allows them to do that without fear of embarrassment, I might add. That's a big thing. You know, there's a big difference between working online and working face-to-face, okay? And some people have trouble doing that, all right? And that's why I think this is good. I must ask you, where did the name Yellow Dig come from?
Well, you know, so when I gave the name of the company back in the days, and of course, you know, the platform wasn't built out, but I wanted to build something which has kind of an emotion attached. So the color yellow is the color of the intellect, and dig is stands for like digging in your collective ideas and knowledge. So it basically means like, you know, bring your intellect into the classroom and kind of let's dig together, let's learn together.
I like it. And what are you hearing from professors, okay, who I assume you sell Yellow Dig to the school and make it, and I don't know, I'm going to be, I'm kind of asking you this as well. You sell it to the college, and they make it available to professors, or they make it available to students? And do they make it available class by class or right across the board? How's it work?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So work with schools who has all those options that you mentioned, Larry. So we have schools now who are trying to, you know, build a community experience within their classrooms within, not only the classrooms, but also outside the classrooms, because the platform can be also used for building communities which are not related to the courses also. So we have schools who are kind of adopting us right at the central level and making it available to everybody. But we also have what we call is a business model where we say it's landing and expanding, where one professor or a group of professors can actually adopt us directly. Just like a textbook, like professors decide what textbook use, they can decide to use our platform.
You know, that's pretty clever. What's the feedback you're hearing from professors? If you are hearing feedback from professors, to me this is a good idea. And I tell you, it engages students in their education. And certainly at the college level, they should be very engaged, because this is going to wind up being their profession in many cases. Okay, and it's the beginning of collaboration and community that they will find, hopefully, in the workplace. Okay, just as we get through this, what are you hearing from your users? And I also want to know what you're hearing from professors. So do that either way, Shanu.
Yeah, no. I mean, our professors, I mean, when they start using it, you know, like it. I mean, you know, the reality is that, you know, most students, right, I mean, of all ages, are so much used to, you know, having communities or social media, that kind of experience in the in a regular life, right? People are in a variety of platforms like Facebook, LinkedIn, and, you know, WhatsApp and other tools which are in so much use. But when it goes to education, it almost feels like, you know, there are no tools available which are designed for learning, because, you know, Facebook is not designed for learning, and we are. So,
right.
So
right.
From a student standpoint, they definitely experience, you know, appreciate that, you know, that community experience. And for professors, you know, what we find is that, you know, typically it's a new concept, you know, building community, asynchronous, right? I mean, it's a new concept and using technology, and, you know, we also have gamification in the platform, so we kind of create the environment for the students to also engage with one another. So all these things are new for professors, but, you know, I mean, professors, are, I mean, they learn very fast. I mean, I think, you know, one of the ways we do that is, you know, sometimes we have a pilot program. Like, you know, if some professor, they don't have the budget, so they can't buy technology, it's not, you know, in their plan, they can just try us out for one semester. And if they like us, then we can actually engage in a conversation with the school or the professor. So it takes a little while for them to kind of get used to it. They want to first try it before they buy it. But once they try it, I think it becomes they become champions pretty fast. I mean, that's what we're seeing.
Yeah, and I would hope that they're seeing that their students are learning better and that they are far more engaged in their learning, because I just like this whole idea. You know, there was that show on TV, I don't know whether you know, it was called Community. Okay, it's about community college. All right? But this goes beyond community college. I mean, it's building a relationship between the students based on what they're learning. And I think that's really, really just an amazing thing. I got to tell you, well, you know, you heard me say we deal a lot with equity here, and we deal a lot with access. All right? And can you put, if you can, technology and YellowDigs technology into that equity and inclusion arena? I think that's a key part of what you're doing here.
Yeah, no, it's a very good topic, Larry, and, you know, we think a lot on this topic, and personally, I'm very interested in equity and access. You know, I grew up in India, I came to this country, and, you know, I was supported in by various institutions to come to where I'm today in my life. So I definitely personally feel important and kind of, you know, helping in this area. So, you know, my thought there is when we talk about equity and access, I think a couple of things come to my mind, which is like, we know there is a problem. We know there is a problem that a lot of students who are getting into these, you know, schools and colleges are not finishing their courses and programs, right? They are dropping out. They are getting disengaged. You know, something happens in their family, or they're going through some tough times, or, you know, they're not really kind of finishing their programs, or, you know, getting good grades for them to get that job, or things that they can get. And we also know that, and there are studies out there that, you know, talent is, you know, uniformly distributed. It's not by zip code. Like, there are talented kids and people who just are not finding the access to find the job or the career that will take them to the next level. So I think that is the problem, and we all know about that problem. And one of the things that I find sometimes is, you know, sometimes, you know, we talk about the problem at a higher level, but we don't quite dig into the problem in detail. And that's an area that I'm passionate about because, you know, one thing I always think about is, you know, even if you think about a classroom, let's say, you know, in a classroom, there are, you know, you can imagine 50 kids or 50 students, whatever age group. You know, the thing is that if we can get those 50 students engaged in a meaningful way so that they can connect and relate to what they're learning and actually find some passion or find some excitement, they're more likely to actually go through that experience. I would say, you know, more often than not, a lot of these kids or students who are coming from a background, and it could be any background, which is causing them not to feel connected. You know, they may be sitting in the back of a backbench, they're not speaking up, or they're not raising their hands, or they're underconfident, or they have language issues, or there could be so many things, right? They're not connecting. They're not connecting with the instructor, and I know the instructors try to their best to get them engaged, but they can't because, you know, they only have a couple of hours in the day, right? I mean, and they have like 50 kids they have to cater to. So how would you design an environment? And which is where we come in. I mean, the way we approach it is, how do we design a learning environment which is equitable and which is democratic? And the first thing is, I think there are two important things that come to my mind, which I feel deeply about. One is giving voice to every student. So, you know, a lot of our education is designed around, you know, being right, right? I mean, there is a question or there is a subject that we are learning, and then the instructor will come and teach that and expect the students to come and answer questions and get a grade. But it's not that common for students to speak up and just say that, hey, you know, I just don't understand what is being taught here, or I have a challenge, or I am way behind. And for you to do that, I think the design has to be in a way where people are, you know, feeling comfortable to open up and speak up and say things and kind of be vulnerable. So that's one thing we tackle because, you know, in our platform, once you have a community in place, it's a 24/7 community. You can speak up anytime. There is no time constraint. There is no locational constraint. You can say what your challenges are, and you often see courses and instructors are actually encouraging their students to speak up when they're having challenges. Could be anything.
Yes, they do.
So that's one piece. The other piece. There's another thing I want to get in, but, you know, I was just going to say is that, you know, this whole idea that, you know, often we say that, you know, students are not engaged, but, you know, we also have to kind of delve into that why they're not engaged. You know, one of the challenges we find is sometimes students are unable to connect to what they're learning in the classroom to the world they're living in. Everybody has a different world, right? I mean, in the classroom, everybody's in the same class, but, you know, if you go back to their homes or their jobs, and, you know, somebody might be working in Starbucks, somebody might be working in a bigger company, and it's important to design learning where people can bring in their full selves into the learning environment, where they can talk about examples that they are, you know, facing in their environment, where that how that relates to learning. Like, you know, I mean, one of the things we see in a Yellow Day quite often actually is, you know, if people are sharing examples of things that they are learning in their, let's say they have a job or an internship, like what they're learning there to how that relates to their classroom learning. Because it's a social environment, people are feeling much more comfortable to kind of speak up and share examples. And we often hear that that kind of integration of knowledge is quite powerful for, you know, learners to actually start to make sense of what they're learning and, you know, build some sort of a passion as opposed to kind of just kind of being there because somebody asked them to kind of sit in a classroom, right? So I think that's another important piece that we like to tackle, you know, through our learning design.
Right, and I think it's very clever. And, you know, the even before the pandemic, students of a certain age certainly were living in an online world, Facebook, Twitter, all the LinkedIn, all that sort of stuff. All right, that's what Instagram, whatever you want to say. That's kind of their lives are built around. Everybody's always looking at their phone, all right, as opposed to looking at other people. And we can't expect people who live in that world, in that environment, even before the pandemic, okay, to really do well socially interacting, as a professor might ask them to. So to take the kids and go where they are is extremely important in building communities these days. Now, I am all in favor, as anybody would be, of social interaction and face-to-face and all that sort of stuff. But the kids are different today. They were different before the pandemic. The pandemic made it worse. Okay? So if you can engage the kids with online community, that's a very powerful tool. And I want to say an online learning community, a sharing community involving their education. That's key. And I want to ask something else, Shinnok. I know that you folks present data and analytics as part, I believe you do, as part of Yellow Dig. How are they used? Who's going to use those analytics? What are we looking for? Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that's part of what you guys do.
Yeah, so, you know, that is part of our product as well as service that we offer to the schools. So, you know, the big
thing
in data and analytics is, I mean, you know, think about it this way, which is if you're sitting in a classroom and if you have, let's say, 30, 40 kids in that class, you know, as an instructor, it's very hard to know which kid is actually engaged or not, right? Because in a classroom, let's say they're just listening to a lecture or maybe once in a while they raise their hands, and right? So, but the advantage of online is that you can now see what their behavior is. You know, for example, in our platform, we track when the student logs into our platform, how often they're logging in, what content they're viewing, interacting with, who they're interacting with, when they come into the platform, what time in the day, when is more convenient for them to kind of participate, to what extent they're participating or not participating, what kind of content they're writing. So, you know, the possibility of actually measuring a variety of kind of things that the students are doing and what kind of outcomes they're getting is, like, you know, endless in a technology platform. And imagine Facebook, right? Facebook has pretty much tracks everything one does in those platforms, but they're kind of, you know, using that to sell, like, whatever products. We are using that data to figure out what students are learning and who is not engaging, essentially. So as an instructor, like, we can tell, like, hour by hour, day by day, week by week, what's the overall trend in your engagement pattern in your students, and I would say more importantly, who is not engaging, like somehow, somebody was engaged for like 2-3 weeks, and they were like answering questions and kind of engaging, but suddenly something happened in their life, you know, they're nowhere to be seen, they didn't come back for like 3 days.
Yeah.
But for an instructor, like, you know, it might take 2 weeks to figure that out. In our platform, we know it like within days that something has happened. So and that data is available to our instructors, so they can see the engagement patterns of our students.
It's good. It's good stuff. Shinnok, we got to go. I thank you so much for this. This is a fascinating thing. Everybody, it's yellowdig.com. It's a good product. I congratulate you for figuring this out, my friend. Thank you.
Cool. Thank you, Larry. Thanks for inviting me. And it was quite enjoyable chatting with you.
Yeah, it was incredibly enjoyable meeting you, my friend. Enjoy my hometown of Philadelphia. Get yourself a good steak sandwich, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, everybody, that's Shinnok Roy. Shinnok is the founder and CEO of YellowDig.com. Cool product. I like it. Check it out. I think it's pretty cool. All right, we're going to archive over at ace-ed.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.